Hi, this is Alan Whitten, and this is the audio version of the blog, 6 Helpful Tips to Be More Consistent. In this post, I'm going to share 6 helpful tips to be more consistent. These are a collection of things that have helped me become more consistent doing something that is hard, for me at least. I'm no expert on consistency, so don't worry, I'm not going to be bombarding you with facts and figures. Sorry, stats lovers. To be more consistent. Point 1. Take mostly small steps. No, even smaller. Point 2. Especially if you're doing something that you find really hard. Point 3. Know your goal and keep knowing it. Visualize it, live it, then park it at the back of your mind and keep it there most of the time. Point 4. Stop putting pressure on yourself. It won't help unless you're that guy that thrives on pressure, of course. Next point. If you're having negative thoughts about you or your ability, know that they will pass and turn your attention to your breath and regulate it. Next point, whatever happens along the way, treat it as feedback instead of pass or fail. And the final point is, embrace the grind, but do so intelligently, cutting yourself slack where appropriate. Okay, so that's the short answer out of the way. Here's the expanded answer. I'm going to refer to running as one of my examples. Because last Sunday, just like every Sunday these days, I went on my new standard of a long run. Running, or plodding is actually more accurate, 15 miles through a sunlit Epping Forest at 6 a.m. Afterwards, I recorded the video that will be listed on this page. Even though this is how I got to be consistent in sports, I guess running is a sport, it can be applied to business, relationships, or life in general. Point 1, start and continue with the end in mind. This means spending some, but not too much time, thinking about your goal or outcome. The whole reason why you're striving and putting yourself through hell and even doing it regularly. So if you're going to visualize yourself as being the best version of yourself, this is where it starts. This is the you who's already reached where you want to be. Ideally, you should already know what this version of you looks like and feels like. But we don't live in an ideal world, so if you haven't, then go and watch this video that's in the link. Even if you have done that, revisiting it is something that it's good to be familiar with. Afford yourself some time to think and feel like this version of yourself as often as you can, because it will help you on your journey. Next point, take small steps. I wanted to write baby steps, but there's something about that that really annoys me. I'm no baby and neither are you. When I started running, I still wrestle with the idea that what I in fact do is running. I started small, way small. In fact, I started out walking just a mile or two. I wanted to prove to myself that I could do it, like a proof of concept. It had to be something that was so small it was impossible, almost impossible to screw up. And then I did it again and again, till the big 2-miler just became the standard 2-miler, which then in turn became no challenge. And then I added 0.5 kilo to 1 kilo to my rucksack, or tried to run a little further. I remember wrestling with my willpower to do another tiny little bit to increase from last time. And it was tiny, so I managed to do it. But I still had a babyish whine internally about it, so maybe I am a baby after all. On progress. It's hard being consistent, especially when you're doing something that doesn't come naturally for you. And progress, or the lack of it, can be a hard thing to manage. There are times that I feel awful. There are times that you feel awful too in your endeavours. It can feel that my efforts suck and are totally ineffective. Take courage though. It's helpful to remember that this is the landscape of your mind trying to push back against the way you currently are. It wants to stay in non-achieving comfort, where it knows exactly what it's doing, regardless of whether that is nothing, good, bad, it doesn't care. The brain's default is to be consistent, but only to be consistent with what it currently knows. New stuff, not so much. It cares that you have a heartbeat and little else. It doesn't give a single solitary damn about what you want. It just wants to do what it already does and doesn't do because it's working. So, thanks but no thanks, I'll pass, it says. So here follows a rant to my brain. No, brain. No, 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 no. That's where you're wrong. See, this is the new way of being. And whether you like it or not, that's how it is. So I'll take every babyish whine, every scathing negative thought about myself, my ability, about my identity, and I'm going to make you eat it. I'm going to make you eat it and eat it and eat it. And only then when you've gotten used to eating it and you've accepted that this is your new normal, that this is the new me, that this is the real me, only then will I give you some spare leash. And Brain, I know you're going to fight me, and I know how cunning you can be, and what a sly git you can be, so I'm playing the long game too. You see, Brain, I don't want to fight you, really I don't, but this new thing, this new endeavour must come to pass, must be a part of us, of me. And it is inevitable, because I say so. I'm okay with you freaking out and making things tough, that's okay. I know it is an effort to grow, I know it hurts, believe me, I know it hurts. How the conditioning is scathing, seemingly cruel and relentless. But it is for the best. So let's get after it, together. You've 100 reasons why you shouldn't do it, why you shouldn't persist, be consistent and resilient, more than you've ever been before, and only one reason to continue to strive. But it will be worth it, trust me. This unholy quest, the desire to be the thing that you cannot be, to flip the bird to all the naysayers, that's your fuel, that's your air. This is your daily bread, this is the way. Rant over. Dealing with negativity. Let's group negativity into two groups, external and internal. Sometimes internal occurs as a result of external, sometimes the other way around. Either way, it's all unpleasant. External negativity like, goal X isn't for you. You've got the wrong body type. You're too, insert limitation. Be grateful for what you have. I don't know anyone like you who's ever done it. We've all heard these soul-crushing responses, especially when we've shared with our loved ones, friends or family how we're struggling to be more consistent than we are. At least twice in my life I've been told by very experienced, very well qualified people that I should quit trying to do activity, job, X or Y. I proved them wrong both times. Let me be clear, I never came great, stellar or even very good at those things that I wanted to do, but do them I did and as well as I could. I found out that due to my stubborn nature, asked my long-suffering wife, that I could use other people's limiting beliefs as a kind of motivation. I call this the FU response, because I'm coarse and largely uncultured. The more I thought about other people's limiting beliefs of me, the more it kept me plodding one foot in front of the other or going back to work harder at activity X. I'm in no way where I want to be, but I'm en route, and that's enough for right now. So I invite you to try the same method to see if it works for you. Maybe it will, maybe it won't, but there's no harm in trying. Internal negativity like, I'm too old, too fat, too slow, too uncoordinated. This is just another one of your fads. You're a narcissist. It will never work. You'll quit before you get to your goal. Once you've reached your goal, you'll stop and go the other way. You can't. You won't. Stop. Call and get picked up. This isn't for you. Who do you think you are? I've heard all of these joyful lines. They're not made up. But this is what I noticed. I noticed that the most negative thoughts rear their ugly head when things get on top, or rather, I was under pressure, either in general business life, yep, or running uphill. When cruising downhill, or things got fair or good in life, well, that was fine. No dramas, no whining, feeling good on easy street. But the moment things got difficult, and I started to notice that they were getting and staying difficult, is when, as if by magic, the negative thoughts would creep in. Now, I'm not saying this is your experience. We're all different, right? But it was mine. Anyway, here's what I did. I applied a principle for mindfulness. God knows it took me months to figure out I should do this. This is particularly embarrassing, given the fact that I teach clients how to use mindfulness to help themselves. When the negative thoughts started to come, I just observed them. Instead of going into the thought and following where it took me and pouring petrol on the fire to make them worse, I just remembered that all thoughts pass, good or bad, so watching them instead of engaging with them allowed me to keep the emotional distance from them that I needed, remaining detached and not getting caught in the weeds by them. That would be a happy story if it worked by magic, abracadabra, they're gone. No such luck. It takes concentration and repetition. In fact, I also noted that even when things were back on an even ground again, that life had gone back to normal, that the negative thoughts still persisted. Again, when I become aware of the pattern of these thoughts, it became a little bit easier to deal with. I also found that bringing my attention back to the breath also helps bring a calm back to the mindscape. Not all the time, but most of the time at least. Putting pressure onto yourself. Most people, including me, have a tendency to put pressure on ourselves. It can spring from impatience caused by progressing too slowly or not at all. It can manifest itself when we're in fear of judgment by others or comparing ourselves to someone more experienced at activity X. Whatever the cause, pressure can be debilitating and can lead to an even worse performance, leading you further down in a downward spiral, hurtling towards giving up your dream or goal. Not everyone suffers pressure though. There are some people I know that in the right context actually perform better under pressure. Although I'd like to think of myself as one such hero, sadly I'm not. Instead, I flounder and fluster with the best or worst of them. So if you're a relatively normal person like me, try nurturing process instead. Remind yourself that you're not an expert yet. If you are trying to encourage someone to be who was, I don't know, a little sensitive, what would be your best words of support and encouragement? Try that on. Also recommend joining a group of like-minded, supportive people who are going to encourage you and not judge your efforts. It sounds like a fantasy to find people like this, but they are out there. Just be a bit discerning, you'll be surprised at the support that others are prepared to give you and how much people will help you. On results and performance. Similar to the progress, when our results aren't matching what others or we think they should be, this can be another trigger for negativity to stretch its warty little legs. It makes little difference if it's a sport performance, a business meeting, or other such important activity or event in our life. If we're too critical of ourselves, we're likely to hinder or forestall the genuine ground that we have made. This in turn can make us want to quit or stop being as persistent as we could be in making our goal a reality. What would happen instead of that we just decided that anything challenging that happens is just feedback? Feedback that we got to decide what to infer from it. To help with this, we can imagine ourselves as an impassive geek in a lab coat, just dispassionately noting what was useful and effective in the performance event practice and what wasn't. After we do this, we can take off the lab coat and become human again. Sorry, geeks. We can then take the time we need to appropriately practice or praise our good stuff, and then can get on to affecting and with a fervent curiosity how we can change the stuff that didn't work. All the while remembering, while we're not experts, we can figure out the answer ourselves, and what we can't, we can put to an experienced person to seek guidance. This might be an experienced coach or a supportive forum. Then using the same method of visualization that we did when we started and continued with the end in mind at the start of our list, we can mentally rehearse what it will look like implementing all the useful new changes. Just remember to practice from both third and first person perspective several times, okay? In summary, while this is no means an exhaustive list of strategies that you can use to help be more consistent in your endeavors, I'm hoping that at least a little bit of it will be of some help. Hey, it worked for me. But let's recap just to be sure. Start and continue with the end in mind. Practice mental rehearsal of your outcome. Take small steps. Small incremental progress is easier to achieve and harder to screw up. On progress, remember that your brain only likes what it already does, but you can condition it with smart, effortful work. Dealing with negativity. Flip it on its head and use it as motivation and or use mindfulness to detach from it. Putting yourself under pressure. Adopt a more nurturing approach to yourself and seek an informed, supportive, like-minded group. On results and performance. Treat all results and experiences as feedback you can learn from. So there we have it, my inconclusive personal take on being more consistent. If you'd like to join my newsletter, get more blogs and videos like this right in your inbox, then fill in the little orange box on this page. If you stayed with me this far, thank you, and I'd love to offer you 10% off the cost of a live coaching or therapy session. Just mention consistency, 10%, and just fill in the contact form on this page. Stay gold.